Ladies and gentlemen, please stand by. We're about to begin. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Gentrack Investor Briefing for our full year results to 30 September 2018. Today's call is being recorded. Your host today is Ian Black, and he is joined by Tim Blewett. Please note this call will conclude by 11 a.m. I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Ian Black. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you and good morning. I'm going to start with a few words on the company. For those of you that don't know us so well, just as an introduction, our vision is to be the leading specialist provider of business applications to energy and water utilities and airports globally. And we proudly support over 220 customers where our solutions are mission critical, deeply embedded and highly valued. Gentrack's business model delivers a high level of recurring revenue and profitable growth, and we distribute the majority of our profits as dividends. Our target markets are experiencing a time of significant change. In the airport market, there is pressure to improve passenger experience, but at the same time using airport infrastructure and resources in the most efficient way possible, and this is forcing our customers to utilize technology to a greater extent than ever before. In the energy sector, new entrants are challenging the incumbents with low-cost offers, and larger suppliers are responding with enhanced digital and multi-brand strategies. In the water sector, excellence in customer service and customer experience has become the focus. All of these factors are driving demand for our solutions and creating opportunity in our existing customer base and in the wider market. I'll turn to our financial results, and I'll ask Tim to give you the highlights.
Thanks, Ian. Turning to the financial results, the highlights, we've delivered a strong performance in FY18 and delivered an EBITDA growth of 30% with a result of $31 million, which is in line with guidance. Our revenues increased by 39%. We have announced a final dividend of 8.7 cents per share, which will be fully imputed in New Zealand and attract a 10% franking credit in Australia. And we continue to deliver consistent shareholder returns since the IPO. Back to you, Ian.
Thank you. Some of the business headlines. We're really proud to announce that we've added 28 new customers in the last year. Nine of those came with the acquisition of Evolve. Notably, in the UK, we've added major energy suppliers such as EDF, Npower, E.ON, and Ecotricity to our customer base. The airport's wins include Orlando International Airport and Jersey and Belfast airports. Our total recurring revenues were 50% up year on year to $64 million, and they now constitute over 60% of our total revenue. We're very pleased with the traction we've gained with our new SaaS model. This year, we signed almost all of our new utility customers on a subscription basis, and at the year end, the annualized value of our SaaS contracts, which excludes our recurring support services, was $51.8 million, which is double the prior year. We're going to be tracking this as a recurring revenue metric going forward. We concluded the acquisition of Evolve in June. Evolve is a data analytics solution which is highly complementary to our existing solutions, and I'll talk further on this in a minute. Following the acquisition, we undertook a rights issue of $90 million, allowing us to pay down debt completely, leaving us with a $50 million undrawn debt facility. And in a very busy year, we also opened a presence in Singapore and have secured three contracts. So some significant milestones during FY18.
The next, we've delivered consistent EBITDA results since IPO with a compound annual growth rate for EBITDA of 24%. And now if I turn to the divisional breakdown of the business. The airports business remains at close to 20% of the total company, with providing the bridge to NPAT showing acquisition-related costs, which included short-term borrowing facility costs. We have adjusted the valuation of CA Plus, which was 75% acquired in May 2017 for €7.5 million, to reflect that no further consideration is likely to be payable to acquire the remaining 25% in May 2020. The business will not achieve cumulative EBITDA targets for December 2019 to trigger this further consideration. This involved the write back or the revaluation of the put option liability for £3.84 million, and an associated impairment of the carrying goodwill of £3.98 million. The net effect to NPAT was £140K.
Thanks, Tim. I'll carry on with that theme of the breakdown between the divisions and focus first on utilities. As I've mentioned, we are seeing utilities companies follow the move to SaaS in a more aggressive fashion than prior years, and we are well positioned to support them. In FY17, Australia was a strong growth market for us on the back of significant regulatory change, but in FY18, the growth driver has definitely been the UK, where we've added some large companies to the customer base, and our existing customers have scaled their businesses and the corresponding use of our solutions. Just at the end of the year, there was an additional revenue profit contribution from Evolve following acquisition. Moving on to airports, the analysis of our airports business, Veovo, shows a similar picture to the utilities, where growth occurred outside of the ANZ region. We invested in the US market, where we have existing customers, and we have secured some significant new business. The US is actually starting to go through the process of moving from government ownership to private ownership of airports. That's driving commercialization, and our experience and solutions are highly valued. We see this as a long-term driver of the US market opportunity for us. Further, if we focus in on our recurring revenues, a critical measure of our business growth, the split of revenues by revenue type across the division shows we have significantly grown both our software and subscription revenues. In the utilities business, project revenues are actually slightly declined as we've reduced the cost to implement our software through productization and automation of delivery. Our support services revenues remain a consistent source of reliable income, and these are included in our total recurring revenues. I've already explained that at group level, we have grown our total recurring revenues by 50%, and both divisions, airports and utilities, have seen equivalent levels of growth in this metric. I move on. We're investing to help our customers gain the benefits of SaaS. We're building new solutions which are available as cloud services. And a couple of examples of our first cloud-native offerings are an integration services platform which allows third-party applications to plug straight into our billing platform, and a market connector solution for the UK market. Comparing the revenue we achieve from customers that purchase in the traditional way with upfront licenses and recurring maintenance contracts versus a cloud subscription model, we see the total lifetime value to Gentrack over 7 years being at least 50% greater. In reality, most of our customers stay with us for much longer than that, and so those returns increase. When customers are on the Gentrack Cloud, we also have the opportunity to cross-sell them our other solutions far more easily. For the year, we've actually seen our total recurring revenues increase by 50%, which in itself marks a clear revenue mix change away from one-off services software, one-off services to software and regularly recurring services. However, due to the adoption of our cloud and SaaS offerings, the contracted run rate business has actually doubled year on year. We've increased our R&D spend as the company has grown. We have capitalized development investments in new products, which we're building to drive the future growth of the company. And we expect to see similar levels of investment going forward at this time. And in FY18, we were able to make significant headway into our transition to cloud offerings, investing in the solutions and operating model, while still achieving our profit and growth targets. However, existing customers still contribute a significant proportion of our revenues, and this will be a multi-year journey as we help them take advantage of these new capabilities. If I turn to our people, we've added capacity to the UK organisation to support the growth that we're experiencing in that market, but actually at a slower rate than our revenue and EBITDA growth. The total percentage of female employees has risen by 3% this year, and we've introduced programs to drive engagement and diversity across the business. We're attracting top talent as our brand gains strength, and we have high retention levels of staff. And we're also really pleased to see staff moving between countries, spreading our product expertise, and offering interesting career development opportunities for them. Just a couple of words of detail about the Evolve Analytics acquisition, which happened in June. This SaaS solution is the leading offering in the UK market, which energy suppliers use to ensure that they can collect all the revenue possible from customers and that they correctly pay for the energy they have supplied to those customers. Often due to data errors in the market processes, the financial recoveries for our customers using this technology can be considerable. The existing Evolve customer base includes a number of leading UK energy suppliers where the solution is highly valuable and companies have embedded the solution into their business processes. The team from Evolve are acknowledged as experts in this very specialised field. Evolve actually works with any billing platform, but we are uniquely positioned to integrate and combine our solutions as a service. And we've already seen very high levels of interest within our customer base driving demand.
Turning to the dividend then, the final dividend of 8.7 cents per share represents 70% of FY18 NPAT-A, bringing the full year dividend to 13.7 cents, which is fully imputed and 10% franked in Australia. The dividend policy is unchanged, but may be subject to review by the board if we consider any future acquisitions and re-gear the business. The dividend record date is the 13th of December and the payment on the 21st of December.
Thanks, Tim. Just wanted to conclude with the outlook statement. We remain very confident in our 15% long-term organic EBITDA growth target. The annual performance of the company remains dependent on timing of projects and contracts, as has been the case since we started. Currently, there is actually significant uncertainty for UK energy retailers. Looking at the UK market, government intervention and price regulation have compounded Brexit concerns, and we are seeing our customers adopting a cautious approach to new projects that are in our pipeline. I'd also comment that we've seen increased failures amongst some smaller independent UK retailers. There's been about six in the last year, and this is both an opportunity for Gentrack and sometimes a risk. At times, some of those smaller independent retailers become an opportunity for us to bring them onto our platform as they move to a supplier of last resort. In Interestingly, a couple of the failures were with energy retailers that had custom-built their applications in-house. And so for our customer base, many of them are very grateful for the platform they're using and the cost-to-serve models that they're achieving with the platform we provide. In Australia, energy price volatility and government reviews are also introducing some investment uncertainty for our customers. So we're monitoring these situations and trends very carefully as they unfold during the coming year. And we plan to update the outlook when we give our half-year results.
Can I just note that I'm told that the wrong slides have been broadcast on the webcast by the webcast host company. So I hope listeners have been able to follow and download the presentation from the ASX and NZX websites. So we apologise for any confusion that's arisen.
It concludes my briefing. I'll hand back to the moderator to open the line for questions. If there's any time at the end, I'll also address any of the questions submitted online. And once again, our apologies for the confusion around the slides that were submitted. Hopefully you've now got copies you can look through. Back to the moderator.
If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. And we'll take Tristan Jaw from FNVC. Please go ahead.
Morning, guys. Just if I can kick off on the customer comments that you've made. Just wondered whether you had any failures in your customer base, or you've had any of these smaller guys fail for you. And then secondly, there doesn't seem to be any large utilities announcements that are too different from what we saw in the first half. So I just kind of wondered if you had a bit of a slower half. And then I guess finally, just at least on this subject, the comments around people emptying out of the pipeline. I mean, I just wonder if you can kind of characterise that a bit better. Is there really not much at all in the UK pipeline? Like, how does it look to how you thought it may have looked 3 months ago, let's say? Thanks.
Thank you. So there's three questions in there, I think. The first was about any of our existing customers that have failed. We did have one very small utility in the UK which failed. Often the process is, though, that they go to a supplier of last resort. We've actually had many of our customers be the recipients of failed energy suppliers in the UK, which have actually boosted our numbers, which is why, as I said on the call, it's sometimes a positive, not a negative. And fortunately, as I say, many of our customers in the UK are significantly benefiting from having our platform, which is reliable and low cost. It's helping them succeed in a competitive landscape. Tristan, I have to ask you to remind me what the second question was.
So the second question was just sort of, we didn't have any banner customer announcements, I guess you'd say. You know, moving on from E.ON and Empower, we haven't sort of had any large ones for a while. I just wondered if you could kind of characterise that, and then, you know, and then in terms of the pipeline, like you've obviously made these comments about the pipeline in the UK. I just wonder how that's changed.
So, look, I think the EDF contract was very recent. I don't think they announced that. We didn't make a big song and dance about that. And these projects are large multi-year projects with these significant tier one energy suppliers. So I think we're doing incredibly well. There's only six of the big six in the UK. I think we've won a number of those in this year. In terms of the UK pipeline, It's not that there is any reduction in the size of the pipeline. It's just a little bit of uncertainty about the timing of projects that are in that pipeline. And we're just being cautious, noting that people are waiting on what the outcome of Brexit decisions are going to be, and there's a bit of caution around investments at this point in time, subject to those decisions in the UK public arena.
Okay, cool. And then I'll just ask one fairly, hopefully straightforward question. Just like take your point about the CES transition, and I see the chart in the slide pack shows you how you would, recognise more value through time. But at the same time, do we expect more disruption, I guess, to revenue growth as you go through that transition? And then secondly, what about the leverage? What about the margin expansion that you might get as you move towards more of a recurring revenue model? Like certainly you can't see it at the moment, but I gather that's because we're investing into new markets. You know, do we expect terminal margins to be above where they've been in the past, or at a similar level, mid-30s type thing?
So, firstly, the transition to SaaS, mostly it's new customers coming straight onto the new SaaS offerings. And so we'll see a transition of our existing customer base to this model over time. As you noted, the total lifetime value is much higher long-term, but that kicks in after year two or three in terms of lifetime, the customer acquisition. And we do see a long-term improvement, expect a long-term improvement in margins as those customer maturity curves happen and we gain more traction and also more critical mass with our SaaS customer base.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll let someone else have a go.
Thank you.
Up next is Joshua Dale from Craigs Investment Partners.
Good morning, guys. Just a few questions from me. First of all, looking at your result, there were three things that benefited EBITDA beyond growing organically, which were one, currency tailwinds, two, capitalising R&D, and three, acquisitions made not only this year but also made last year that are annualising through the account. Do you have a sense of where EBITDA would have landed had you not had those benefits this year? Just trying to get a sense of underlying performance.
Look, the underlying performance of the business has been very strong. We with the acquisitions, we've actually merged, for example, in the UK, the UK businesses as a combined entity, so we don't now track the separate revenues and costs separately. And our airport businesses are all growing at about the same rate, so we've had good organic growth across our existing customers and within the recent acquisitions.
Okay. Do you have constant currency growth in revenue and EBITDA for this year?
There was a weakening of the New Zealand dollar, particularly against the GB pound, over the year. We estimate it's around a 2% impact to EBITDA.
Okay, is that looking at the average of FY17?
So looking at the the average rates year on year, across all the multi-currencies has a combined effect of around 2 percentage points on the growth, the EBITDA.
Right, okay, thank you. And just on your comments earlier on the EDF contract, I know that customer was an existing Evolve customer. Did you mean to say that they've sort of selected perhaps the Juniper or Velocity product in addition to Evolve?
That's the case. And the decision was completely independent of the Evolve relationship at the time. So, but yes, that's.
Okay. Just curious to see why you didn't sort of disclose that, given you've disclosed other Big Six customer wins previously.
It was really, really the scale of it. You're right. We made a decision. It's a small pilot project to test a disruption strategy, but we didn't deem it necessary to disclose given the size of it. But it nonetheless is significant. If we can expand that opportunity long term, that could lead to a very exciting opportunity for us to grow our share of wallet inside EDF.
Okay. And just interested in your thoughts on continuing to base dividend policy off NPATA. As I understand it, this policy was sort of established because amortization in the business was genuinely non-cash, but now that your tax-adjusted amortization, 4.2 mil for this year, is roughly equivalent to capitalized R&D of 3.7 mil, it sort of seems to be less useful than regular NPAT as a measure of your cash generating ability. Just interested in your thoughts there.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, Josh, and I think that's one of the things we will be reviewing with the board as we go forward. I think the business has changed quite considerably since that was put in place, and I think there is the opportunity to look at that again.
Okay, great. And last question from me, interested whether you've sort of retained the key personnel from the four acquisitions you've made previously. Have any sort of left or are planning to leave?
No, we've managed to retain all of the key personnel from all of them. And many of them have actually invested in Gentrack. So we think they're highly retained and contributing significantly to the business, and not seeing any particular risk at the moment.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's all from me.
And up next is Guy Hallwright with Woodward Partners.
Good morning.
Hello.
I just had a couple of questions. Hi. Firstly, I noticed that revenues were down a bit in Australia and New Zealand, both in utilities and in airports. I'm assuming that is because there was basically less customer growth this year, so less upfront revenue in those markets than there were in previous years. Do you know what was happening to recurring revenues in those markets?
Yeah, so the recurring revenues in those markets are certainly stable or growing. We've actually got a very stable position in the New Zealand market. It's a mature market, so we don't really see it as a growth driver. In Australia, there was a period of regulatory activity a couple of years ago, and we're seeing a new wave of regulations on the horizon, so we expect that to drive revenues in the next 2 minutes, the next 2 years. There's actually a move to a 5-minute settlement in the energy markets, and that will drive significant interest in our solutions. Also of note, we're seeing opportunity with our low-cost solution in Australia. We've got our first couple of customers have onboarded onto that platform, and there's a lot of interest in the pipeline, and we're getting some competitive wins in the Australian market, which we expect to monetize over the next couple of years. In addition, there's large projects and upgrades in the pipeline supporting our future growth. So we're seeing the market, seeing the Australian market still as a long-term growth driver, albeit that as in my comments in the outlook have stated, there is a bit of political uncertainty and regulatory change, which has the inverse effect on that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And also just on customer numbers, I noticed in the utilities market, if I add your growth onto the number of customers there last year, I get about 6 more customers than are in your slide. Have there been some customer losses over the year?
No. So there has been a couple that have merged. To my recollection, we can check on that, but not because of losses. We'll check our data points.
Okay, thanks.
No, indeed, we haven't seen any losses.
Okay. And on the airport side, I see the number of Veovo customers that you've got on the side there is quite a bit higher than the number you were talking about in the annual report last year. Is that because last year's numbers didn't actually include the Blip and CA Plus customers?
Yes, I think the as we've gone through, there's been a number of customers in the Blip and CA, in the Blip portfolio in particular, that they're providing services to that we really do consider now active customers. So we're now including those in the numbers.
Okay. So that, I mean, last year I think you said 65 base plus 9 new airports, that's 74, and now we're talking 118 Veovo customers, and the difference would be looking at plus. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you. That's all for me.
Thank you.
And now we have Andy Bowley with 4/5 Bar. Please go ahead.
Thanks, moderator, and good morning, Ian and Tim. I've got a couple of questions here. First of all, following on from the answer you gave around the margin issue, and we've had a bit of slippage through the year, particularly through the second half, and you referenced a likely increase in long-term margins, and clearly there's a bit of reinvestment going back into the business currently, but what does that mean for the next couple of years? Can we expect further reinvestment to create further margin slippage, say, for the year ahead and the year after? Or is the reinvestment now at a point where we're happy and it's more about driving revenue and getting some operating leverage in the business?
Yeah. Look, I think that the thesis is very much long-term, we do see margin improvement. We don't give margin guidance in the short term, but we do believe that is a long-term opportunity for us based on the strategy we're adopting. Now, that's requiring us to obviously make some investment, and also we are tackling some new markets where we're investing as well. We're not going to be specific about what we believe those long-term outcomes to be, but we continue to focus on just driving our EBITDA growth consistently through that period.
So that might be just standing back a little bit, Ian, in terms of just the rate of reinvestment in the business. Clearly, you know, since you've been on board, there's been a fair bit of reinvestment in terms of R&D, in terms of business development, etc. You know, are we now at a point where it is kind of, you know, full guns blazing in terms of having confidence in the resource that we've got at our disposal? Or do we need to reinvest more?
And I think we've made some very important steps which allow us to build on that. Doesn't mean we won't need to continue to deliver solutions, additional solutions. I've also highlighted in the briefing that we've actually just released to market a couple of the outcomes of that investment, which is the Market Connector solution for the UK. That's a significant addressable market opportunity for us. We are going to be investing based on specific opportunities we see where we'd see a long-term return on investment. But I don't expect us to need to continue to increase these R&D spends significantly.
Great. Okay, so the second question, just around the outlook commentary that you gave, and you've clearly got confidence in the 15% plus long-term EBITDA growth rate for the business, but in the second breath, providing a reasonably cautious tone around UK in particular, and I recognise the UK, you're going to have a higher rate of recurring revenues. But can you give us a sense of the non-recurring shape of the UK currently? Secondly, does the cautious tone mean that we're less, you know, we're not confident about 15% for the year ahead?
Look, I think it's appropriate to call out that there is realistically some uncertainty in the UK market, as I'm sure everybody's aware. Given that some of the energy suppliers are owned by European organisations, that means that there's going to be a bit of caution about making decisions rapidly in the next short while until things settle down. So we're just calling out that we'd like to we, as much as anybody else, want to see the outcomes of the Brexit decision and potential impact on confidence in the UK and European markets. But we certainly remain confident we can grow our business, and that EBITDA growth in the long term we're confident in the levels of that EBITDA growth. The mere fact that our platform is very sticky, it's mission critical for our customers, means that the continued underlying spend on software and our support services and the regulatory compliance activities will go on regardless of the political uncertainties. So that's not necessarily so subject to risk. It's more just the predictability of the pipeline. So we're just being cautious because we are still dependent on projects and contracts to grow our business.
And the general shape of the business in the UK in terms of reliance on recurring revenue or at least the annual fees?
It's a very solid business. We've got a broad customer base from tier ones right down to new entrants, and a very solid recurring revenue stream which comes out of that 40-plus customer base in the UK.
Great, thanks, Ian.
That was your question, I think, it was about the confidence in the recurring revenue, wasn't it?
Yeah, very much so. You know, if you've got more recurring revenue, then you've got less at-risk revenue in the context of the pipeline of business that may or may not go ahead in terms of support services and project services.
Correct, and that's why I was highlighting some of the key metrics for our investors on this call.
Great, thank you.
Phil Campbell with UBS.
Yeah, hi. Just a couple of questions from me. The first one was, is it possible just to give us a little bit more detail about what happened with CA Plus? I know there's a note to the accounts in terms of the goodwill write-down, but just if you give us a little bit more colour as to what was causing the delay in the business plan execution. And then the second question was just on the cloud or the SaaS business. I'm just kind of interested in what's the kind of migration plan for the existing customers. I'm assuming it's a multi-year plan, but just give us a bit of colour on how long that will take.
Okay. So, firstly, just briefly on the CA Plus decision. We just assessed that we no longer believe that we need to pay the profit-related earn-out component, and so we've revalued the business accordingly. CA Plus was always seen as an early stage business. It actually broke even in FY18. We just signed Minneapolis, and we've got a significant pipeline of tier one airports, and we're working hard to close those. So we still think CA Plus is a million euro plus profit business in the short to midterm. But it's also very complementary to our products in the portfolio. But as I say, it was always, during the acquisition, we structured the acquisition agreement such that we were really only paying for what it turned out, what the results turned up in the first 3 years. So we've taken a right approach to revaluing that asset. Did you hear that?
Yes, thanks for that. But I was just wondering, could you give us a little bit more colour as to, what happened in terms of the execution? Why is it taking kind of 12 months?
I think all I can say is that the only comment is that, as with any early stage business, there's always there's always execution risk at the beginning in terms of closing deals. First number of opportunities in the market take longer to close than possibly expected. Which is exactly why we structured the acquisition agreement in the way that we did. So it was purely about timing and revenue streams and the execution of those. As I say, we've got a significant pipeline of opportunities in there, and we're executing on those. So we still remain very confident that this is going to deliver good returns in the long run.
In terms of like, how do you kind of manage that business? You've obviously got some people on the ground locally. Has there been any changes on that, or is it still the same people running it?
Yeah, what we've been able to do is actually bring the sales execution capability into other areas of our business, so we can help with pipeline development and sales execution. I mentioned earlier that we've introduced more resources into the US market. They're also carrying those products into the US market, so it's giving us greater visibility and execution capability on sales in the US. So we're leveraging the rest of the airport's infrastructure to start to build momentum and capability.
Great, thanks.
And you asked about...
Once again, as a reminder, it is star one to ask a question. We'll move on to our next question from Shuo Yang with Micro Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Ian. Good morning, John. Just had two questions. First, on the proposed Empower SSC merger, can you sort of talk through the implications for Gentrack, given they're both customers? I guess implications if the merger does go through on your recurring revenue for those two customers, and whether in the short term project revenues are on hold there during this merger process. And just secondly, in terms of your M&A pipeline, the maturity of that pipeline and whether you're looking at new geographies or new product sets, complementary product sets.
So on the Empower SSC potential merger, and there's ongoing questions about the timing or the actual execution of that. Our solutions are being implemented into the B2B division of Empower, which is not subject to that merger. So it's an independent part of the business. The merger is really occurring between the retail components of the Empower and SSE. And we're seeing no impact on the B2B business, where we're deploying our solutions across that very large entity. The Evolve solution is actually in use in both Empower and SSE, so it's probably a bet each way in some respects as to where that ends up on the retail side. And in fact, the merger could well open up more opportunities for us in other parts of the SSE business. This year we closed a smaller opportunity in the district heating business for our solutions, which was marked because that's our first contract with SSE. So we see ongoing opportunity long term for that, regardless of whether it merges or remains separate. You asked about the M&A pipeline. We continue to track a number of potential targets. There's no imminent M&A activity pending right now. We tend to focus on the proposition to the customer and making sure we've got the opportunity to deliver further value to our customer base. If there's a fill-in acquisition, that's a logical target. If it's a solution which drives long-term growth rather than a legacy application, that's more attractive. And there's quite a number of organizations we might look at, but nothing imminent at this point in time. We did de-gear the balance sheet so that we were in a position if the opportunities do come up to make an acquisition, but as I reiterate, it's nothing imminent.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And our next question is from Claude Walker with Ethical Equity.
Hi there. For the last two halves now, the operating profit from the utilities division has been essentially flat despite revenue increase. Is it fair to say that this is mostly attributed to the fact that, I guess, you've been increasing the number of or the proportion of software as a service style contracts?
As always, it's probably a combination of a number of factors, and that may that would contribute if we had been perpetual licenses, then have driven revenue faster in the second half. As I say, it's very important to us that we take advantage of the long-term strategy to move to SaaS. I think I'd just make a comment on this call. We see utilities which have historically been laggards in adopting SaaS solutions now starting to catch up, and we see that as an important alignment decision for us in terms of how we sell product and support product with where they see their needs going. There's been some investment in making sure we're developing the right capabilities around not only delivering software, but also providing services, the service infrastructure, the operational support to customers who are running our systems in the cloud. And that means that we are able to start to migrate our historic customer base across to the infrastructure and then give them some of the advantages of that platform capability long term. So it's a combination of investing in skills and people, in making sure we've got the right capabilities for customers, and revenue mix change as we see this adoption occur.
Great, thanks.
And as a reminder, *1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a few moments. And it appears there are no further questions.
Thank you. Still online? I'm not sure if they're... We'll just check online to see if it's only been submitted electronically. Otherwise, we'll draw the call to a close.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for participating. Really look forward to catching up with you individually. If you've got further questions, please feel free to submit them. And we really appreciate your attention and time spent with us on this call. Thank you.
This concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.